The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mike Mullen, has described the national debt as the greatest national security threat facing the United States. But maybe there is hope for bipartisanship when tackling the debt, at least in the Senate. It is called the so-called Gang of Six. They are led by Virginia Democrat Mark Warner and Georgia Republican Saxby Chambliss. They don't intend to let the recommendations of that Deficit Reduction Commission sit on a shelf. Joining us now live is Virginia Senator Mark Warner. He's joining us now live. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thank you, sir. So what specifics are likely to be included as this progresses? Do you see legislation coming down the pike for something like this?
Well, we've expanded our group from Saxby Chambliss and I now to include those members who voted for the Deficit Commission, the so-called Simpson-Bowles Commission. And we've been working through right now how we, whether we decide to put forward legislation or whether we decide to put forward goals, which would then have consequences if Congress fails to act. I don't want to get into the specifics because we're in active negotiations right now, but the group of us, three Democrats, three Republicans, all recognize that unless we take on our national debt and our current year deficit, we're going to leave our country in a much weaker position.
And that's the way it really has to be, isn't it? Democrats and Republicans, as I like to put it, holding hands and jumping over the cliff together?
We really do, because, you know, there have been kind of the third rails of politics that we're all going to have to violate. The idea that Democrats have said we can't touch entitlement programs, you know, the newfound fervor in the Republican Party that says there's no way that increased revenues in any form are allowed. Well, both of those kind of forbidden items are going to have to be dealt with because this challenge is so great. And, for example, every day that we fail to act, we add $4 billion, with a B, to the national debt. Ultimately, we're going to have to pay that off, and as that hole keeps getting bigger, it's simply going to mean that when we do address these problems, it's going to require even more draconian actions if we don't act now.
And a moment ago, you said the third rail was cuts to entitlement programs, but the fact is that what you're talking about is a reduction in the future growth, not an absolute cut in anything, right?
Absolutely, and I think that's a very, very valid point. This is not cutbacks in the traditional sense, but the rate of growth of some of these programs, Medicare, Medicaid, the rate of growth trying to make sure that Social Security, for example, is actually solvent for 75 years and doesn't go to have this cliff effect about 30 years from now where it would have to make a 22% across-the-board cut in benefits. Trying to preserve some of these programs really is what we're all about.
Now, we're having a little fun calling it the bipartisan Gang of Six, but that's really what it is. And what is it that the Gang of Six is able to do that Congress as a whole doesn't seem to be able to pull off? Is it because it's a smaller group with a lot more experience?
Well, I think my hope would be I'd love to be able to rename this from the Gang of Six to the group that wants to get stuff done. Somehow gangs seem to always connote a bad idea, at least in most neighborhoods. I think the reason that the six of us came about, four of these members had actually voted for this commission report back in December. Saxby Chambliss and I had made an absolute commitment that we weren't going to let that report just collect dust on the shelf. And I think we've kind of built, I hope at least, built that level of trust that allows us on both sides to kind of talk about the issues and recognize that some of the solutions aren't going to be immediately popular. But if we're going to make sure we get our country back in order, and the reason why sometimes I think those of us who talk about the debt and the deficit fail to translate what failure to act on this means, it means that, you know, people no longer would buy our bonds. They'd no longer basically lend us money or lend it only at a much higher rate of return. If we were to drive up interest rates, that would dramatically cut back our ability to basically for the private sector to create jobs because their cost of capital would go up. It would mean that America couldn't pay all its bills, and that could cause a financial panic, and it could have a real dramatic effect. One of the things that we keep making the point is it's, you know, it's not a question of if we're going to do deficit reduction. It's only a question of when. Are we going to do it now on our timelines, or are we going to wait until the bond markets force us into more draconian actions the way we've seen in countries like Greece and Ireland?
And we're speaking with Virginia Senator Mark Warner, a Democrat. And I wanted to ask you about some of those parts of the commission's report that dealt with the federal workforce and the federal agency organization. They were talking about longer pay freezes. Is the group that you're working with looking at some of those recommendations, too? And what do you think you'll come up with that would affect the federal workforce?
Well, we're looking at everything that was in the report, although it won't be with as much specificity. It may be more in terms of setting goals. I mean, one of the things I hear from my federal workers, and being a senator from Virginia, we've got a large number, and our federal workforce, I think, is as good as any workforce in the country, private or public. And what we're seeing right now is the current budget debate going on in Congress, which focuses almost entirely on domestic discretionary spending, really goes to the heart of the programs that Americans want and our great federal employees provide. So if the current path is even, I think, potentially more devastating to federal employees because it really focuses on the programs where they work, particularly in these domestic discretionary programs, and some of the related defense programs.
Now, the Senate Budget Committee's Task Force on Government Performance is going to be holding a hearing later this morning about modernizing government performance systems. You have an all-star panel there. You're going to be involved with that too, correct?
Well, I'm lucky enough to be chairman of that group, and we're looking at ways that we can save money. I think one of the things a little bill that most folks have probably never heard of called the Government Performance Results and Modernization Act really hopes to become a tool that we can partner with our federal employees to try to urge those folks who work at agencies to not identify 50 different priorities. I know sometimes Congress keeps layering on additional priorities, additional reporting requirements. We're trying to clean out some of that underbrush, actually have federal agencies eliminate 10% of the reporting requirements, have them identify programs that are truly successful, have them identify programs that are unsuccessful. Who better than the federal employees who run these entities know where there may be areas that could that aren't performing as well? If we're going to have to look at consolidation, and there's a GAO report out recently that I'm sure many of our federal employees are familiar with that talked about literally hundreds of programs that are duplicative and could potentially see consolidation. We hope that this the work of this task force can help guide policymakers so you don't come in just with the meat axe and say, okay, we're going to cut everything across the board without any real examination of what works and what doesn't work.
Virginia Senator Mark Warner is chairman of the Senate Budget Committee's Task Force on Government Performance. Thanks very much for joining us with that update.
Thanks for having me. Take care now.